We're a little lucky today because we get to have two scriptures. We already had Psalm 121, but I would like to direct you to Ephesians 3. So if you can open up your Bibles to Ephesians 3. And if the children can step out. Today's worship was awesome as always. I always want to express my voice a little bit more. And as you can tell, like, I'm a little hoarse now. And I hope the songs and the words touched your hearts as they did to me. And that these words as well that are written in the book of Ephesians also touch your hearts as well. Ephesians 3, we're going to look at verses 14 through 17. And it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you be rooted and established in love." Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these beautiful words that you have blessed us with, Father. I pray, Lord, that you fill this place and fill our hearts with your presence, your holy presence, your Spirit, Father. That we open up our hearts, that we open up our minds to receive you, Father, and that you send that heavenly wisdom so that we can understand what you have in store for us today, Father. I pray that you use me as an instrument, Lord, and that the words that come out of me, Lord, they not be mine, but from you, Father. I pray to you and give you all the glory. I give you all the thanks, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So again, I'm going to read 17, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Jesus at home in your heart. As Paul is praying for them, the same prayer is needed for us as well. That Christ, in verse 17, may dwell in your hearts through faith. I want to take everyone on a little journey. I want to take everyone to that upper room. And you're sitting there with the disciples, and you could just imagine what they were going through. Confusion must have filled their minds, and questions must have filled and flooded their hearts. You see, in that upper room, Jesus Christ looked at them. And he tells them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. What does that mean? Must have been going through the disciples' mind. What is he talking about that he's going to go? And to further complicate matters, a few moments later, Jesus Christ says to them, "If a man loves me and keeps my words, my Father will love him, and he will come into him and abode with him." You can just imagine a huge question mark above the heads of the disciples. He's going to go, and now he's going to come back, and he's going to dwell in us? What is he talking about? What does this mean? He's going, then he's going to be in us? They will find out a few days later after Jesus spoke to them these words in that upper room. He went out into a garden where he was arrested. The next day, he was illegally sentenced. He was executed. He was crucified on the cross. They buried him, but 3 days later, he came back from the dead, where he appeared to the same disciples, and he looked at them, and he said, "Peace be unto you." And then, as recorded in John 20, it tells us that he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. At that time, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ came into their hearts and dwelt in them. Jesus Christ and the Father, the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was going to abode in their hearts. Now, Jesus Christ physically would go into heaven a few days later. He would be lifted up. He lives in us. He lives in us spiritually, and amazingly, he lives in you and he lives in me. By his Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Paul, here in this letter to the Ephesians, picks up on that analogy. He picks up on that imagery. He says, "In my prayer that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Dwell. That word dwell, if you examine it, katokeo in the Greek language, it means to be comfortable in your heart, to come into your heart and not just be a guest, but to be welcomed into your house. Dwell. To be comfortable in the home of your heart. That's my prayer, Paul says. No, not just allowed in, but to settle, to be comfortable in your hearts. How? Jesus Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." How many of you have seen that beautiful portrait of Jesus Christ knocking on the door? We have it here in the Salon Social, in the fellowship hall. It's a beautiful picture, beautiful picture. But if you take a look at it, there's something missing. There's no doorknob on the outside of the door. If you look at it, you cannot open the door from the outside. It has to be opened from the inside. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice that you have to make, whether to hear him and open the door or to hear him and leave the door closed. The choice is up to you. The choice is up to me. Jesus Christ is a perfect gentleman. He'll never break down the door to come into your hearts. He'll knock. He'll stand there for as long as he can, for as long as it takes. And it's up to you to open the door. It's your choice. A lot of us have made that choice already. A lot of us have already opened the door and let him in. "Come on in, Lord, to the home of my heart." And he did. The first room in my heart that he saw was the living room. He says, "Nice room, Raphael. It's got nice furniture, has a nice little fireplace, a little 48-inch TV, not too big." And he says, "Nice room." "Thank you, Lord. It's one of my favorite spots. It's pretty quiet in here. I like to sit down. I like to relax after a hard day's work. And it's relatively quiet and secluded. I love my fireplace. These couches, they're nice and comfortable." And he tells me, "Tell you what, Ralph. I will meet you here in the living room every single morning. Every single day, before you go out to work, let's sit down. Let me guide you. Let me give you instruction. Are you okay with that? You just want to talk to me, Lord? You just want to talk every morning? Sure. Why not? Before you start your day, Ralph, I'm going to give you some direction. I'm going to listen to you. I want to hear your problems, and I want to meet here together. It's important, Ralph. I know, Jesus Christ told me. You see, he said to me when I was walking, you know, Jesus Christ said, you see, when I was walking in Israel a little over 2,000 years ago around the Sea of Galilee and down in Jerusalem, I found out something, Ralph. I found out something that was really important. When I was in the flesh, when I was here on earth, I too needed instructions. When I was in the flesh, needed help daily from my Father. You see, every morning, morning by morning, I talked with him and he was helping me. Morning by morning by morning. It was predicted, you know. Before I came on the scene, there was a prophecy spoken about me, Ralph, in Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord was given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. Ralph, the Father's given me the ability to speak wisely, that I can refresh people that are weary. How does he do that? He's given me a well-instructed tongue. And morning by morning, the Father speaks into my ear. And now, Ralph, I will do the same for you. I'll do the same for you morning by morning. And it was great, I said to myself. Every morning I would wake up and I would sit down with Jesus in that living room. And I would talk to him and I would give him my problems. And he would listen to me and he would give me instruction. But something happened. I got busy, I thought. I had to worry about work. I had to worry about friends. I had to worry about everything that I had to do, my responsibilities. And one morning, as I rushed out, as I went down the steps, see, I have a two-story heart. I went down the steps and I rushed out the door and caught a glimpse from the corner of my eye. It was Jesus. He was sitting there on the couch. He was patient. And I stopped in my tracks and I was like, oh, it's been 15 mornings. It's been 30 mornings. It's been 60 mornings since I spent time with him. So I went back inside. I was like, what a dumb sheep am I? I went with my head down and I was expecting him to yell at me. I was expecting him to say, Ralph, where have you been? I've been here 30 mornings. That's what I expected. But he didn't say that. He had a smile on his face. He had a sparkle in his eye. And he looked at me. You know what, Ralph? As I was saying, and we just continued the conversation, he didn't condemn me. He didn't scold me. He was graceful. And all he said, as I was saying, Ralph, and we just continued the conversation. We were continuing the conversation that we had 15 mornings ago, 30 mornings ago, 60 mornings ago. Truly, at that moment, I understood what the book of Romans was telling me. That truly, There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He just makes himself available to me every morning, morning by morning, to help me. He just gives me those wise words, and he navigates my life successfully. We had a great morning that morning. As that morning was coming to a conclusion, Jesus Christ tells me, "Ralph, that room over there, I haven't been in there. What's in that room?" "Lord, that's a great room. Let me show you. That's my study, my little library. Come on in, Lord." I opened the door and he walked in. And he started to notice my books. He was looking at my books really intently. All my bestsellers. The 4-Hour Work Week. How to Win and Influence Friends. The Millionaire Next Door. You're Okay, I'm Okay. He looked at them. And I could tell he wasn't excited about the latest books. I thought he would be. I thought he would be impressed with my collection. With all of my bestsellers. All my number one self-help books. He wasn't. He said, "Ralph, do these books work?" "Oh, Lord, not really. No, that's why I'm still collecting them. They don't really help, Lord." Did you know self-help books, Americans spend about $10 billion every single year. 10 billion with a B as in Bravo. $1 billion per year on self-help books. Then Jesus Christ looked at me and said, "Ralph, are you ready for a book trade?" And I told him, "What do you have in mind, Lord?" "It's a great library, Ralph. It's 66 books, all bound into one volume. Books that will make you not ashamed as you study to show yourself approved unto me. A book that comes back with an incredible guarantee." See, in the sixth book of this beautiful book, in Joshua, in the sixth book of this library, listen to what I am promising you. In Joshua 1:8, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, Ralph, you will be prosperous and successful." So I said, "Wow, how can I say no to that promise?" So I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready for that book trade." So he grabbed the big box and he took all my books and put them into the box, and he gave me the Bible. Then he said, "Down the hallway, Ralph. What's that noise?" "Oh, Lord, I thought you might notice it. It's my family room. Can you hear all the noise? That's Matthew. He's playing with his little Avenger toys. Can I go in there?" "Oh, if you dare, he's being real rambunctious right now, Lord." "Okay, let's go." So we walked into the family room. And he went in and he stood there. And Matthew was playing with the Hulk and the Hulkbuster. And he looked up and he saw Jesus. And he said, "Oh," and he ran to him. He ran to Jesus. And I said, "Whoa, Matthew, hold on. Stop, Matthew, hold on, back off." And Jesus says, "I think I've heard this before." "Some other disciples tried to keep the children away from me, Ralph. Allow Matthew to come." And what did Matthew do? He tackled Jesus. He started wrestling with him, playing with him. And Jesus had a big smile on his face. And then Jesus calmed Matthew down and started telling him a story. Put Matthew on his lap. And Matthew was at peace. Matthew was listening intently on every word Jesus Christ was saying. And I said to myself, wow, Jesus just filled the atmosphere, just changed it. He was being real rambunctious, and now he's listening to God. He's listening to Jesus Christ. Jesus has filled my family room with peace. I said, Lord, you've altered this room radically. He said, Ralph, that's why I've asked you as the head of the home to make sure you let me into the family room, that I can alter your family as you have family altar regularly. I will alter your house. I will alter Matthew. I will alter your marriage. I will alter your entire family. If you build the family altar around me, he said, I will alter your family. I want to meet with you regularly. But Lord, I have a ministry to attend to. I have a job. I have people that have problems that I need to help. He said, remember when they stood out and said, Jesus, your mother wants you. Remember what I said, Ralph? Who is my mother? Who's my brothers and my sisters? These disciples who hear and do my words are my family. But you, Ralph, your family, they are your disciples. More than any other people, your wife and your son, they are your primary disciples. See, my disciples are my family, Ralph. But your family, they are your disciples. And it's amazing what happened. It's amazing what takes place. And quite frankly, it's amazing how difficult it could be to meet Jesus Christ in that family room. You see, there's a real enemy. There's a real enemy trying to stop it. But you have to make that effort to meet Jesus in that family room. And then, all of a sudden, I hear a knock on the door. It's Thursday. My friends are here. Come on in, friends. There's about six of them. I was like, I forgot it was Thursday. And we started heading out to the rec room. I have a nice pool table, nice TV, have nice speakers. And they were all coming in. And right behind my friends was Jesus. I was like, wait, Jesus, hold on. You can go into the family room. You can go into the living room. Give me about an hour, God. Let me just be with my friends for about an hour, okay? And Jesus gracefully said, okay. So for that hour, my friends and I were playing pool. We're listening to music. We're having some drinks. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, the lyrics of that music, they're a little disrespectful. They're a little degrading. The jokes that I used to laugh to are now crude, and they've lost their humor. And now, this drink that I'm drinking, it's no longer good to me. The Lord has spoiled me. And it went like that for about an hour until I heard another knock on the rec room door. And I opened it, and it was Jesus. I was like, Jesus. He's all, can I come in? I was like, wait. My friend said, you know what? Who is that? And I just said, oh, it's Jesus. Just let him in, Ralph. I was like, okay, come on in, Lord. And then Jesus goes and he grabs a pool stick and he starts doing some amazing shots. And then something wonderful happened. He started talking to my friends. And my friends, I looked at them and my jaw just dropped. They were listening to Jesus as well with intent. A couple of my friends left. A couple of friends scoffed at me and said, you know what? I'm out of here. Those are not your friends. Those are just people that want to use your pool table. The real friends were the ones there listening to Jesus. See, I found out something at that particular time, that Jesus Christ is the life of the party. I said, you know what, Jesus, you're going to go with me in every single one of my recreational pursuits. You're coming with me, Lord. You've already spoiled me. I have too much of you to enjoy all this other stuff. So you're going to come along with me. And if you have to ask, Ralph, can I go to this party? Or Ralph, can I go here? Can I go here? If you're able to take Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ changes the atmosphere, then it's okay. If you start talking about Jesus Christ at that particular place where you're going, it's okay because he changes the atmosphere. But if you go to that place and that place starts to change you, get out. Get out. So Jesus and I, we worked up a real appetite. So I was like, come on, Lord, let's go into the dining room. And I pulled up a couple of plates. And he said, Ralph, this is what you eat? I said, yeah, Lord, every single day I have this. This is how you satisfy your cravings, your appetite. It was a huge bowl of cotton candy. And on the side of it, I had a giant sundae. Everything except the kitchen sink sundae. It had a piece of cheesecake. It had Snickers bar. It had everything sweet. And Jesus Christ just said, this is what you eat? Yeah, Lord. So I took some of the cotton candy and I put it in my mouth. And it was sweet for a moment. But then there was nothing there. It was gone. It was only sweet for a moment. And then I take that sundae and I started eating it. So good. But that sundae with all its sugar and all its junk, it made me sick. It made my stomach turn. I had the urge to regurge. And I tell Jesus, never again. I'm never going to eat this cotton candy. I'm never going to eat this sundae. Ugh. It's not affecting me, but it's affecting you. And it will affect your family. And for sure, it's going to affect your kid as well. Do it for Matthew. And I said, oh, Lord, you kind of get used to the smell. You know, I've been living with it for such a long time. I don't want to get rid of it, Lord. I've gotten used to the aroma. And Jesus said, okay. And he went off to the farthest corner of the house. And I looked at him. I said, oh, but it's okay. You'll get used to the smell one day. Time went on. And all of a sudden, back on the dining room table was the cotton candy, the sundae. I started missing him in the living room every morning. My friends were coming back to play pool. And I know he's good for me. I know that he is wanting to do right by me. So I went up to him. I said, Lord, I'm ready. I need to get rid of that stink. And he said to me, you know what, Ralph? I'll get rid of it for you. Just give me the keys. Give me the keys and agree with me that that thing has to go. And I told him hesitantly, okay. I gave him the keys to the closet and I left. When I came back, the entire house smelled sweet. I had forgotten how sweet my house had smelled without that stench. That toxic stench was completely gone. I had confessed and told Jesus to get rid of it. And now my entire house smells sweet. It smells like Jesus. And I remembered when Jesus went to his friend's house to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary poured the ointment on Jesus and he filled the aroma. The aroma was a sweet smelling smell in the house. And I said, God, I said, Jesus, you've transformed my heart. You've transformed the house. I had a surprise for him. I said, Lord, I don't want you to be a guest anymore. I don't want you to be just a guest, but I'm ready. And I pulled out the deed to my house. And I said, Lord, this is no longer my house. This is your house. We're going to switch roles. I want you to be the homeowner, and I, Lord, will be the guest. I will be living in your house. And he looked at me. He smiled at me. And he said, Ralph, you got it. You got it. But you know what, Ralph? I'm preparing a place for you. Let's go to my house. I've been preparing it for over 2,000 years, Ralph. For over 2,000 years, whatever house you can imagine here on earth can't hold a candle to the place that I'm preparing, that I have prepared for you. So I said, let's go. And then I remembered, you cannot describe the place where Jesus is going to take us. The Bible tells us that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the wonders of this place where he's going to take us. And he's going to take us there. If you open your heart to Jesus, he will transform your heart. And he is preparing a place for you and preparing a place for me. And this is why Paul is saying here in Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. And I ask you, is Jesus the Lord of your heart? Does he dwell comfortably in your heart? Is there a room that you're holding on to that he wants to get rid of that particular stench in that room? That is my prayer for you. If we can all stand. This promise of a house, of a mansion in heaven is only for his children. Only for those that have opened the doors to their heart. It's only for those that have let Jesus Christ come in and dwell in their hearts. If there is anyone that hears me that needs to let Jesus in, to turn that knob and say, I'm ready, let him pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm here as a sinner and I repent. I want you to be the Lord of my heart. Please, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to make you Lord, the Lord of my life. I turn from my sin, and now from this day forth, I only follow you. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone that prayed that prayer, there is a celebration in heaven. The angels are celebrating. They celebrate for one sinner that repents. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful message that you have given us. Thank you, Father, because you are the Lord of our hearts, Father. And if there's any room that needs to be let in, please, I invite you in, Lord, and I want you to change it, because you change the atmosphere. You are the Prince of Peace, and we follow only you. Thank you, Father, because of the plan of salvation. You love us so that you gave your only Son to die on that cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And as we look onto the cross, Father, we see hope. We see joy. We see love. We see your Son, Jesus. And I thank you. In his name, in the name that is above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you. Amen.